much like the promo segments from tonight's main event, we are back. To back.
Repeatedly and ad nauseum.
There's a little spoiler for you. Hello, welcome to What Are We Even Doing Here, a pod show hosted by yours truly, Connor Hopkins. With me, as always, are my esteemed colleagues and guests.
Oh, Damien Deschain, otherwise known as Braden.
There you go.
I don't know. I didn't know I was first.
I'm looking at you, Anis.
Oh, Tom!
And Steven.
And of course, I'm Connor, as we previously said, and joining us to the far right,
Nina.
And I'm Connor.
Thanks, Connor. I got a couple of things for the undercard.
Yeah.
I'm coming in a little hot, but we'll try to saw through it. Me and Steven watched Strange Darling last weekend. It was a rewatch for me, a first time viewing for him. I fell in love with it all over again. God damn, what a movie, dude.
It's great TV, isn't it?
It really is.
Man, I have great TV, I'm not gonna lie to you guys. And any movie you watch on it, it takes you on a cinematic adventure.
It sure does.
Especially when it's shot on a 35mm film, but it's a 4K rendering.
Yeah.
And this TV, just sublime viewing. Yeah. Also, it was fun to watch Steven throw conniption fits at every twist.
I am very, very, very active during movies because, I mean, I don't talk, but my body language just gives it all out because I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Oh, yes, of course, this is what's happening. And then I'm just see Tom out of the corner of my eye looking at me, and I'm like, God damn it. I'm wrong, aren't I? And he's just like, and I'm like, ah! So yeah, no, but Strange Darling was an absolute phenomenal movie. And another movie that Tom and I also rewatched both together, Ready or Not.
Yeah.
Which the sequel is out today.
And I will be going to see when we are done recording.
That's the Woody Harrelson, their magicians.
No.
No.
Ready or Not.
I mean, we're close.
The bride gets hunted in a game of hide and seek by her in-laws.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty fun. I forgot how crazy that movie actually is, like the first one. Went to rewatch it, 90 minutes, and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, that's always great. Rewatching it was like, this is, it's that right level of this is absurd but fun type of horror.
Yeah.
And then I remember, the only thing I really remembered about the first time I watched it was the ending, because I thought the ending was one of the craziest fucking things I'd ever seen, where the twist is, no, this is just real. And I was like, that's actually such an effective twist, because the whole time I'm trying to figure out what is the trick. Mm. And then it's like, nah, there just isn't one.
No, there just isn't. We told you exactly what was going to happen, and it happened.
It's almost Prestige-esque in the sense of telling you this is the thing, and then it's... Now, I'm not saying that it's comparable.
I was going to say...
Man, but in the sense where it's like, a good film.
In the sense where it's just like, you think there's a trick to this. Nah, man, he's just a wizard with a box.
He's using a bloody double.
I watched all, well, actually not even all, but I watched almost all 95 hours of AEW Revolution.
Jesus.
I thought the show was good, not great. There was stuff I liked, there was stuff I hated.
I was on board except for every match had a return and some of them were good.
There was just several matches that just didn't need to be on that card. Where I was like, the whole show would be better if there was just less. Yeah. I really, really liked Brody and Swerve. That was like one of my favorite matches of the night because that was like, it was creative, guys. The whole thing was, well, we're trying to do this who's more dangerous, but we can't really do weapons and stuff because that's for another match. So they just used the environment around the ring as, like, using the turnbuckles to, like, bend your body over and shit like that, where I'm like, this is good. This is creative. Like, this is a different type of violence, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. Sometimes violence doesn't have to involve weapons.
Or blood.
No, it
does not.
It's
not the means, it's the intent.
Correct. Let's see, I also watched last night's Dynamite, which was pretty bad, if I'm going to be honest, to such a point I didn't even finish the show. And then I think that's all I got for my undercard.
I mean, do we want to talk Undertone on here? Or?
I ain't seen it yet.
Not seen it yet.
Yeah, let's say
but
that.
But I plan on seeing it.
Can we talk about...
Because I think we could get a good.
Oh yeah. Very much enjoy your beanie because I saw the new trailer for Spider-Man Brand New Day. And let me tell you how excited and ecstatic I am that Peter Parker is miserable. Because my Spider-Man is the hero of the city, but nobody could give less of a fuck about him as a person. And that's what great power, great responsibility truly means.
I agree, and on that note, let's ring this bell and then continue the undercard, because I'm real thirsty. Do it! Ah! Having garage beers.
Not even waiting for me.
Sorry, buddy.
Jesus.
But, like, my favorite thing is it's all literally street level. All the villains in there. I don't know if you've seen it. Well, by the time this...
I've seen the trailer, and I was like...
Have you guys seen the trailer? Mm-hmm. Of course. Yes. You got the hand coming in. Everything was
Scorpion.
Like...
Scorpion. I popped for the Scorpion. And I was like, it's about fucking time.
I guarantee you, when Frank was in, like, the tank, and he's like, quit your whimpering. Guarantee you in the movie, he's going to say, quit your bitching.
Yeah.
Because I was like, Frank Castle does not say whimpering. I don't care.
That was cool.
I don't care what Disney says, but that's going to be dope. God, there's so many different things, and it was just so good. Oh, yeah, Banner being back. Like, I'm happy. But I will say, my favorite Spider-Man is still Tobey Maguire. Because, I mean, come on.
My favorite is Andrew Garfield.
He has the best
look. He is just the best.
He has that lanky look.
He's a good Spider-Man, terrible Peter Parker.
He's just such a good fucking actor. I love him so much.
He's too cool as Peter Parker.
I disagree, but that's...
He skateboards, he wears contacts, not glasses. Everybody laughs at his jokes.
No one laughs at his jokes.
He made fun of Flash. He literally said his real name, and everybody was like...
Eugene's a pretty funny name.
He's skateboarding around.
Put him down, please! Eugene!
Yeah.
I love that line.
He's
so
hilarious.
Much.
One of my brothers' middle names is Eugene.
Eugene.
That was so hard for me. Just one of my brothers' middle names. No. Multiple? One of my brothers has a middle name that is Eugene.
Which one? Say it right now. What's his full legal name and his social security number and his address?
The first time the pod's ever going to have a bleep in it.
Well, his name's Keith Eugene. Because my parents were cruel and asked me as a child what his middle name should be.
You gave him the middle name Eugene?
I did. And then I picked my other brother's middle name, too. And it's Lucas.
Better.
Oh, yeah.
Better, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Keith Eugene.
Fuck you, Keith.
Which, if you say it fast enough, can sound like Keith Eugene.
Yeah. I will say this. I still... Even after the trailer... I think that Amazing Spider-Man 2's suit is still my favorite on screen.
Yeah.
It's just fucking, it's perfect.
I like that we're back to he clearly made this himself type job.
Yeah.
You know what I like? My favorite suit is the Tobey Maguire, for obvious reasons. My second favorite is, in fact, Amazing Spider-Man 1 suit.
See, I hate that one.
I like it as a reimagined.
Yeah.
I pick it as like my number two.
You know what I hate the most? You know what I hate about it?
It's my
meaning
here.
I like most of it. I hate the eyes. They're small and they're orange. Mm-hmm. They need to be white and huge like they are in the second movie.
Mm-hmm. I liked how the Tobey Maguire one, I liked the webbing being like raised on the fabric. Mm-hmm. I always thought that was really cool. Yep. Now, I have no idea how a person could make that. In their own home.
Seemingly with just a regular sewing machine.
A hot glue gun and a scuba suit.
I can tell you how, because he did it in the comics.
That's probably what it is. Plot armor.
Exactly.
to bring this back to Adultland, I saw Marty Supreme last night.
All right.
How was that?
You know what?
Does Timmy Chalamet deserve that ego?
Okay, I thought it was an alright movie. It did deserve to get snubbed at the Oscars, because that is the spirit of the movie, that sometimes these fucking conniving white guys who just try to fail their way upwards all the time still don't have anything materially to show for it.
Okay.
It's a really haunting tale about ambition and about how, like, throwing all that shit. It made me reconsider a few things about my life and career choices.
That's a sign of a good film.
Interesting.
I don't like Timmy Chalamet in it, but I think that's because he's so good at being this fucking guy.
Okay.
That, like, I don't like that fucking guy.
That's actually really fun.
They're going for the Wolf of Wall Street thing, yeah. But they turned the knob up on... You shouldn't like the main character of this movie.
Okay.
Because you're rooting... It's very Don Draper, you know? It's very Jordan Belfort. It's very... I want to see this guy get away with it, but holy fucking shit, are you an asshole.
He doesn't have that rapscallion appeal where you're like, ah, you...
Unibrow, dirty mustache. It's... Yeah.
You're committing some crimes, but you...
You're committing some crimes.
You scamp.
Kinda, yeah.
Keep stealing.
Exactly.
Keep doing a lot of drugs.
Keep being a narcissist.
But in this case, you're more just kind of like, no, hey, fuck you.
I mean, to an extent. Like, you, again, it takes you on a ride. I It's long, but I recommend it. Check it out. It deserved to get snubbed, though.
Good. I like the phrase, deserved to get
sinners.
Snubbed.
Amazing. Winner of the Oscar for Best Actor is an anime nerd.
Awesome.
And y'all can suck it.
I love that Michael B. Jordan won his. I love that Homegirl from Weapons won hers, which I did not expect that to be a thing.
Yeah, I didn't expect that to be a thing either.
It felt like there was actually enough like good movies last year that there wasn't anything I heard about the Oscars being like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It was more just kind of like, oh, okay, you guys seemingly got most of these right.
I think we're finally coming out of the writer's strike era.
Probably. Or shit's actually
good.
There was a lot of good stuff that came out last year. Like, yeah. I was going through my letterbox and I was like, man. And I took it for granted because it felt like next week something else good would come out.
Yeah.
My last thing. I did finally get to see the season finale for Primal. And it's such a great show. It's so beautiful. And it almost made me cry. It's so awesome.
Aww.
Yeah. There's a caveman and a dinosaur.
Little bitch, you cry about cartoon?
Yeah, and there's barely any dialogue, if any at all.
Adult animation, you dick.
Cartoon?
Yeah, it's a cartoon. I like cartoons.
I like cartoons.
You're not helping, Tom. I'm not ashamed of what I am.
They're like cave paintings that move.
Anyone else seen anything interesting?
Yeah, we watched a ladder match to segue into wrestling real quick. We watched a ladder match from WrestleMania 32.
Which one is that?
Intercontinental Championship.
You mean the one we just watched?
Yeah.
Right before recording?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Oh, wait, you weren't here. It's okay.
I also watched the one from 31 right after it, a couple days ago.
I wonder if they wanted that to become like a yearly tradition for
it. Should have there. It should have replaced the Money in the Bank. If they were gonna do a whole fucking pay per view for Money in the Bank, fine.
I genuinely
make it a ladder match for the Intercontinental title every year at WrestleMania.
I wish that they would just get rid of the pay per view and just make Money in the Bank just a match.
Ooh,
they're not gonna do that.
Good,
because that's how, and it's supposed to do from Mania to Mania, because
that's the season.
Yeah, that's
that's the reason for the
well, because
season.
Remember
Mania
when they used to,
where it all begins again.
Exactly.
Best tagline ever.
Remember when they used to like announce like on the series premiere or season premiere of Monday Night Raw?
Yes.
And it'd be like in June?
Yes.
And you'd be like, this ain't even
it's ain't different.
Nothing.
Yeah. I
remember
wasn't
being
even a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
It was so puzzling the first time that I was a kid and they said that and I was like, this show doesn't have seasons. It's on year-round. I know what a season is. There's four of them.
I got at least four of them.
Shit, we've had all four of them in the last 5 days.
Speaking of this fucking show when I was a kid.
So, can I explain to all of you cretinous humanoids why I picked this episode?
Indeed. Do you want to tell us what it is and then why?
Yeah, it's Monday Night WWF RAR is War. From November 16th, 1998, which is, of course, just a few days removed from my unfortunate journey into this corporeal world. I was just days away from being born, you see. and I wanted to see what the action was like in the World Wrestling Federation. I should have picked the WCW show, I think.
You picked an interesting time period, because this is the Roar is Roar after Survivor Series 98 of
Deadly Game.
Deadly Game. Which
it's a deadly game!
Is always regarded as the one thing that Vince Russo got right. And, man, did he make a career of undeserved money off of it. Like,
he bought a house with money off of that.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I've seen that show. And
I thought you were going to say, I've seen that house.
Oh, that too. Go there all the time. I just drive circles around
it. I drop shits on his front yard.
I just drive circles around it and lean out the window and yell, I remember Tank Abbott! No, fucking...
You
it's
didn't
actually...
use Sean O'Hare correctly.
New Blood stinks!
Fun yeah. B.
Fun B. They actually did a great job, though, in that tournament, on that pay-per-view, of, like, turning The Rock from, like, a super hot babyface to, like, the top heel throughout the course of one show. It's actually booked, and it's booked really, really well. It is executed decently. The end result is good stuff. This is
Dan
the
Severn
next
match.
Day. Yeah. Man. No, that's King of the Ring.
Is that King of the Ring?
That's King of the Ring, yeah.
Where's Dan Severn in The Rock?
Yeah, and you can hear him audibly bitching about Dan not working with him. This is also coming to us from the Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky.
Lexington, Kentucky.
So I would like to point out that anytime a like somebody has ever given the advice of, hey, listen, you don't need to give them a history lesson, okay, kid? They know what happened. Just keep going here now. Go on. I challenge them to watch the very first promo of the show. Because not only is it a history lesson, it's a whole seminar.
It's a, dude, as previously seen on dude. Fucking Monday Night Roar.
No, it's...
We've got a slideshow here for all of
it's
you.
It's as previously seen, like, anthology, where it's just the previously seen, and that's it.
It's, like, egregious. I knew that we were in for some shit when it was the whole fucking corporation comes out here, no music.
Pre-theme, yeah. The only song that we've heard so far is, It's My Life in a Box, It's Time to Eat!
I'm glad you brought this. Life in a Box, It's Time to Eat. Okay, sorry.
Hell yeah, brother, we're eating box on this podcast. Get in or get the fuck out.
I'm glad you brought this up, because this is the show. This viewing is what broke the camel's back, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Okay.
I hate Thorn in Your Eye.
Okay.
I hate it.
Unfortunately, you are wrong.
I fucking hate, like, with
what
so
part?
Much H.
I in your heart.
It.
It's good.
No.
I hate this fucking song.
It's what? An okay riff.
It's kind of catchy.
No. The vocals piss me off.
I've never understood any part of this song, and then I heard somebody on, I think, Deadlock say, It's My Life in a Box. And I was like, oh shit, I can hear that. I don't know that's what it is.
It's my life in a box, it's a spawn of meat.
A spawn of meat?
Of me.
It doesn't matter what the words are, there aren't none. So
you don't
I hate
none.
It. And I wanted to finally put that out on a recorded medium.
The opening of the show, the first thing that I really noticed watching the crowd, I miss
signs. They had one that they immediately panned a hard 24/7, which I did take a mental note of.
I wrote down a couple of them. One just says, Hi, Mom, Ronald is drunk.
I bet he is.
But they would have presumably made the sign before they got to the show. Yeah.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes, the corporation with those ancient stooges who were like huge stars only, let's see, 15 years prior.
Yeah.
Patterson and Briscoe.
Treating Patterson and Briscoe like they're old here when they are as old as, like, fucking Randy Orton.
Like, it's... People aged differently back then. Like, I literally was watching that thinking, like...
Humans weren't meant to live this long.
But my favorite thing about it, though, is I actually think that, like, Patterson and Briscoe as the Stooges, it worked so well. Like, I think they were actually, like...
Entertaining.
They were almost a blueprint for what a stooge in wrestling is supposed to be.
Yeah. Because they played into the, well, we're feeble old men, so we can't really do anything.
Right.
But we are still agile enough to take bumps and fucking, like, shit.
If this were real, I think the two people left at the end of the day would be Gerald Briscoe and Steve Blackman. Like, if they were just set loose on each other, Battle Royale style.
Yeah.
But yeah, no music. I want to figure out when the debut of No Chance was. Because that is an all-timer theme.
Me too. I want to know.
We got to find it.
It's also, like, one of the rare ones that, like, was so perfect and timeless that they never changed it.
And they never had to.
They put out that one Drowning Pool version. You've never heard
that? Oh, wait, no, I have. It's on my fucking Forcible Entry. Yeah.
No.
No. What's it on?
It is on WWE The Music Volume 8.
Oh.
There's a version by Dope on the Forcible Entry.
That is correct.
Album.
The Dope version is not good.
I used that for my corporation.
Really? You like that version?
No. I wanted it to be different. And I was like, oh, this is... I didn't know there was a Drowning Pool version.
Oops!
Isn't there... No, wait. Is it Drowning Pool or is it Theory of the Dead Man?
Either way, that would be better. I don't think it could be Theory of a Dead Man.
Wait. Hold the fucking phone.
To be honest with you. But either one of them would be better. I just wanted it to be No Chance without it being No Chance.
I love that somehow you guys had a discussion that could have been misconstrued as like a debate, but were only ever both burying the Dope version of the song. It was so fast.
Yeah.
Oh, I used that for my thing. Do you like it? No. So anyways, oh, what if it was this or that? Both would be better. Like,
it's no fucking point. Theory of a Dead Man.
Get out.
Holy
it's
shit.
It's fucking Theory of a Dead Man.
Oh my god! That's a real thing that you're playing.
Dude, I used to mow the yard to this album.
That's awesome! Okay, I need to figure out some way to redo the corporation and use this instead.
I mean, fuck AI. This is exactly what Theory of a Dead Man covering No Chance in Hell would sound like.
Yeah.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, the machines couldn't do it better. I recently had a conversation with Matt Cage about how for so many years, and he knew this, and we were just reminiscing on it, so many years I couldn't understand the lyrics there, and I thought it said, "No chance, that's what you've got. Ritzy politicians buying souls for blocks," and I was or buying salsa blocks. And I said, "What the fuck is a salsa block?"
See, freeze.
Souls for a song.
Okay, souls for a song. Puppets.
I'll find their place in line.
Oh.
Go tie a string around your fingernail, boy.
What you said is good, but I'm going to stick with mine.
My salsa blocks.
Yeah, everyone's favorite.
I buy my salsa by the block. So we open with this hour-long corporation promo where they recap the entirety of Survivor Series 98.
Because they know no one bought it. That's why they're trying to sell the replay 2 days later.
Oh my god, I wonder...
Did you notice that they just redid the Montreal Screwjob for the second year?
Literally, well, this was the first time they redid it, because the year prior was the original. Yeah. And it should have never, ever been repeated again.
They would go back to the Montreal Screwjob no less than, like, 5 times.
I was gonna say 40, but, like...
I think, like, for legitimate big angles, like, they have done it no less than 5 times.
They did it... The fact that not only did what I'm about to say happen for real, for Truth City, but that this was a show that we covered on this podcast. When they did the Forgotten Hogan and Rock rematch, they did the Montreal Screwjob in it, as if it needed anything.
Yeah.
Which means that Rock has taken part in 2 Montreal Screwjobs, neither of which happened in Montreal!
It's absolutely
Montreal! Montreal!
What a beautiful way to place the word fucking in there. Like, what, there couldn't have been a better syllable to interrupt. God, I love that shit.
Mod fucking Treehall.
Yeah, I was trying to think of other
placement there. See, it's not
Mo
as...
fucking on Treehall!
What?
Mo fucking on Treehall is actually pretty good.
Wait a minute.
Mo fucking on Treehall.
That is way better. Mo fucking... Motherfucking on Treehall is great. That's awesome.
Now just imagine that dude leaning over that balcony screaming, Motherfucking on Treehall!
Welcome to the first Netflix Raw on Motherfucking on Treehall. Oh my god.
Oh man, art is so good. And art is back.
And alive.
Not only do they go over what happened the night prior, but they seemingly at one point just kind of encapsulate The Rock's entire character arc up to now.
Yeah.
And then I realized he's been in the company, I think, 2 years at this point?
That is correct. Because they're referencing Die Rocky Die signs.
Yes, but he's already done the Nation thing. Yeah. He's already been the blue chipper Rocky Maivia, having real cloggers with fucking gold dust. Like,
yeah, cloggers, Jesus. There's a sign that says Die Rock. And I think that that is somehow more harsh than Die Rocky Die.
Because, like, it's yeah.
Die Rocky
Rock.
Die is like, oh, yeah. Die Rocky Die is like, they're still having fun with it a little bit.
There's a cadence there.
Yeah. He's Die Rock. Holy shit.
Now all it's right. A command.
Yeah.
Command V.
Before, I thought it was a short song.
The Rock ends up saying, you see, 5 to 12 different times in this promo. I wrote it down after the third one, and then kept track, and then stopped keeping track. So I don't know how many fucking times.
More than
four.
You know what I noticed about Attitude Era promos from watching this? Is that they really were not scripted, because dudes would just figure out a way to say stuff.
Oh, my yeah. Dude.
I have to say this. Well, how do I...
And it would just be like, yeah, that's almost... how you would grammatically say that. You know, I can't think of like one off the top of my head, but like go back and watch this promo segment and listen for just all of the like times that Vince and Rock just kind of make up a way to say some shit.
At one point I wrote down, okay, I wrote down The Rock hates the poor. That was part of his thing. And I also wrote down, this promo is gibberish.
Yeah, I hate this.
There was just in general. But then, The Rock said this one line, and it made me remember something very, very specific. The video package for the next pay-per-view, at some point, has this looped audio that me and Cage used to always laugh about, where, for what seems like an hour, it just keeps saying, The Rock is a millionaire, he's a WWF champ. The Rock is a millionaire, he's the WWF champ. We thought this was the funniest fucking thing ever. So to actually hear the promo where he said it, I went, ooh, that's where they got that 1 second clip that they're going to use for a 2 minute video.
Oh my god.
I've been having a moment with a bit like that from the Raw following this that I will talk about at the end of the show.
This promo also at one point gets interrupted to show Steve Austin arriving. And he is so over that it almost then derails the promo.
No, it does. It's straight up, like, I'm imagining now, they're positing that they just have cameras that will randomly pop up on the TitanTron during the show, like, when people show up or whatever.
The owner is in the ring.
That's correct.
So, like, he can't be giving that order.
Like, some guy in the truck is like, oh shit, Steve just got here. Cut to that. It completely derails this promo. Like, they have to stop.
I really think that they played the clips in the wrong order, because they show Austin arrive, right? Huge pop, but then Vince literally just says, I don't care if Austin's here or not. And they just go back to the promo, which is not over now, because everyone's like,
"Well, never mind.
We
that.
Know Austin's here."
Well, yeah, I can't argue.
It was over his shit beforehand. Unfortunately. Dude, I was wondering during this entire time, like, man, wrestling was so much easier before the internet, before smartphones.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Like, people actually paid attention to what was being said, so you could have long-ass promo segments like this and not lose people.
Because they were forced to watch.
Yeah.
Like, they had nothing else to do.
You bought a ticket to be at the show.
There's so much stuff on this episode that, like, it feels like fair show stuff now.
Yeah.
I fucking hate where every match has a promo. Everyone has a gimmick. The gimmicks are all things that can't possibly exist in the reality that we currently occupy. Like, it's so wild to think that this is the semblance. This is the excellence of sports entertainment.
Yeah.
Like,
this is the peak, the pinnacle.
Attitude Era is the best.
This garage beer is really fucking good, by the way, guys.
Not sponsored, but...
No.
It's really good. The lime garage beer, also delicious and fantastic.
I almost got some.
Shane McMahon straight up says that he likes kissing his dad's ass.
Yes!
There's a lot of, like, ass-kissing humor in this.
Yes!
There was a phase.
They just repeat it over and Rocky even admits that he likes the taste of Vince McMahon's ass. And we're talking about kissing it. And
at one point,
Vince McMahon, famous for his crimes.
At one point, I paused this promo, and it was 17 minutes plus.
Yeah.
And I said, hot fucking Christ.
So
it's an hour and a half show.
When I sent you guys the link, or the date for the show, I was hitting play on it, because I was just going to watch this anyways, and I was like, fuck it, you said pick something.
Sure.
I'm probably to about that point when I text you guys back and say, I should not have picked this show.
And I said... Don't. I was typing. Don't worry.
No. We have rules here.
Except Tom.
A card laid is a card played.
Yeah. But see, I think that's better.
Yeah.
It's better for the show that we're currently doing, not for the show that we're watching, because this is pretty fucking bad.
They were not trying.
When Vince goes to throw it to the Titantron to like show the footage or whatever the fuck, he accidentally goes into 95 broadcasting voice, because he like drops the whole like character and he goes, all right, let's go to the screen here. I'm like, Jesus, what a maneuver. And so at one point they're showing The Rock like pretending to be laid out or whatever.
Yeah.
And The Rock says, where's The Rock's Oscar, Vince? He's still asking this question. Having not even been nominated once.
No.
I just want to point that out there. Fuck The Rock.
The Rock's in Fortnite now.
He didn't get nominated for Black Adam?
No, and that was several years ago.
Probably his closest one, honestly.
You and me saw that in a theater.
Oh my God, we did see that
together.
You
were one of the dozen people that did.
It was confounding, and the only thing I remember is there were several points in it where I said, you can't do that.
I remember liking it, leaving the theater, and then thinking about it later and being like, wait a minute.
I saw it in the theater as well, and I went, you know, if that was one of the first superhero movies ever to come out,
okay,
then,
yeah,
you know, it's not going to be Iron Man level, but like...
That's a good first try.
Yeah. There would be a nostalgia there.
Yeah.
Time.
It'd be like, oh, yeah, remember when they tried to do Black Adam? Yeah.
I think that you phrased it perfectly. Because I think that's where I latched onto first, why I liked it leaving the theater. And then I thought about it. I was like, wait a minute. No.
Yeah. That's
exactly I say nay.
I say yay.
So this
Stone Cold.
And then Stone Cold comes out to a thunderous pop in Lexington, Kentucky.
Lord on high.
Can't do that anymore. Man.
Austin 316 shirt, Blood from a Stone style.
So good.
Peak Austin here. Like he's so fucking cool.
The most over fucking dude by a huge margin. And they had a lot of really fucking over people here.
I gotta be honest. The more that we go back and watch Attitude, or at least I've been on like kind of what I've been calling an Attitude Era slop kick lately.
Yeah.
Where I don't want the fucking, you know, Mania triangle ladder matches. I don't want the good Austin Rock matches. I want that fucking, we're in the trenches, you know.
Okay.
This is just the weekly product that we're putting out here.
You want what the Attitude Era truly was.
Yes.
And not what it is hyped up
not
to
what
be.
The WWE documentary version is.
Gotcha. It's a later note, but I'll bring it up here because it's a perfect segue. I hate the Attitude Era.
A lot of people do. Going back to it is always wild for me just because, like, I was watching it this time.
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff for me that, like, nostalgia can carry a lot of things, but it can't carry everything.
Yeah.
There's so much that, like, when I go back and rewatch this, that, like, what I'm actually enjoying isn't necessarily the product itself. It's the remembering where I was at that point.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's shit that, like, I'll see where I'm like, how did I ever accept this as entertainment? Like, what the fuck was I thinking? And then there's stuff where I'm like, that's actually better than I remember it being. Mm. Like, a lot of times I feel like it's the undercard stuff and, like, the perception now of being a worker versus, you know, just being a kid watching. The stuff that, like, I'll appreciate more now is, like, okay, on the screen right now from this episode is Bossman and Shamrock, which we'll get to in a bit. There's stuff about the work in this that I'm like, oh, Bossman had some pretty good fucking right hands.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that when I was a kid watching this. At the time, I fucking hated Bossman because I thought he was boring as shit. Like, there were so many of these guys that at the time I thought was just fucking boring. I didn't want to watch them. I only wanted to watch the guys that were doing moves.
You didn't understand how they had a job still.
Right. There were so many times where I was like, why the fuck is Jeff Jarrett here? Where's S.A. Rios?
Push S.A. Rios.
Push S.A. Rios. Wow. Stop.
The reason why I love going back and watching this is because, like, for so long I've been so hyper-focused on purely in-ring work rate stuff. Like, you know, obviously, you know, my Ring of Honor kick and whatnot, but, like, going back and watching this, the stuff that I enjoy is almost exclusively not happening in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, I just love the way that Stone Cold walks out and is the most over guy in the arena. Like, this makes me appreciate Stone Cold Steve Austin so much more because, man, he just was the coolest guy.
Yeah.
Oh my god. The 90s. Oh my god. I think I have.
Dude, you're so. You are a sports entertainer, bro.
That's literally my last note is, why is Steve Austin just the coolest guy ever?
Yeah, he's just the coolest guy.
And has only gotten. He's only maintained that level of cool. We'll go with that.
Yeah, but he's also gone through a metamorphosis of cool. He's a different type of cool now.
Correct.
But not lesser than.
Exactly. Right. Different cools, different needs. Like, the man had two of the best retirement matches ever.
Yeah.
was it 19 years apart? Yeah. Then Stone Cold throws the contract review to the Titantron because he's got the authority.
So this whole thing, too, this made me realize how over.
I can't believe Austin we're not is. Past this opening promo, but it's a third of the episode.
Yeah, I was about to say.
So Stone Cold walks out and he's got a piece of paper with him. And I've never heard a louder pop for someone taking a piece of paper out of their pocket. Because Stone Cold says that he's owed a title match. Throw that clip on that bastard! And then they say he's got a title match. And then he throws it to the Honorable Judge Horn of Lexington, Kentucky. And then on the screen it says Judge Mills Lane.
For some reason.
Different guy, I think.
Different judge. Different judge. Needs. Yeah. Like, I didn't understand the name mix-up there at all.
The Honorable Judge Horn, what?
Also,
Mills Lane, what?
I think they made up a judge character and pre-taped this. And then he was like,
oh, we're in Lexington, Kentucky tonight. Oh, shit. Let me think of a judge.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
And he didn't know there would be a placard in the thing.
So wait,
that's why they just flashed it quick and then brought it down immediately.
So you're positing that Steve Austin created Judge Mills Lane?
Judge Horn.
No. He judge looked Horn. Up a real... Yeah.
Okay, okay. Real, now I got you. Okay. So you're positing Steve up. Austin created a real man.
No, he looked up a real man.
That's right. That's
in the
right.
phone book at the time.
Ah, yes.
Or something.
I choose to believe that he just knew a judge in Lexington, Kentucky.
It blows me away.
Stand up cat. We went to high school together.
real quick Steve Austin note. Did you guys hear this thing about they reached out to him for 316 day? And his response was, I'm out here getting ready for a race.
Yeah, I follow his racing Instagram. He's taking awesome. That shit real serious.
I did not know
straight
about
up
that.
Blew off the fence so he could drive through the desert.
That's I'll tell awesome. You what. You want me to get in a plane and fly over that some bitch?
No. This is all, like, I wrote down, all of this happens in 21 minutes. What are we even doing?
And, like, this is the format that every shindy would pick to steal from for the rest of time.
Ever.
We have to have the 20-minute opening segment with our heel authority figure where we get over our newest heel turn and addition to the group. We have to do it all the time. Forever.
This is the format of the show now. Like.
Yeah.
It's bonkers.
Sorry, it frustrates me a lot.
Yeah, that's good. You like a
yes.
You knew where I was.
To the moon,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
Never mind that shit, because we're going to start the show hot with the 6-man tag.
My first note on this match is Kurgan did an Irish whip.
He did it.
It just feels so wrong for a man of this stat. Like, does Big Show do Irish whips?
I feel like he does, but to, like, who?
For what?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Maybe when it's, like, him and Kane, and they're trying to be like, we'll show him how to work.
Yeah.
There, that, yeah. Maybe that Taker. Would, yeah. That's what it was. He did an Irish whip to someone that was very
great
small.
Cully. I could maybe imagine it on maybe a Batista.
Batista.
Yeah. For some reason, it was halfway through this match, and I was like, wait a minute, the Oddities had matches? Like,
yeah.
I just only ever saw pictures of this group and never seen anything of them.
I'm upset that they cut the entrance because they're out there with ICP.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine.
Guys, it's everyone's favorite, Bill Gunn, teaming with Road Dogg and X-Pac, versus everyone's favorite of Kurgan, Golga, and Giant Silva.
I just remember thinking...
Oh!
There it is.
Huh?
God!
For anybody listening, my dog just jumped square on Brayden's dick.
Now you reckon.
Oops.
On his... Damien's James.
You're alright?
Sorry, yeah, I deployed the dog.
No, this match was,
it happened.
At one point, there's a sign in the crowd that says, Bald Knob 316. And what? I said, it kind of has to be.
Well, or is he?
Excuse me?
Knob is a British expression.
We're in Lexington, Kentucky, sir.
Lexington, yes.
That's what I said.
There's plenty of Britons there.
Britons?
There's at least one that day.
Britons. You know, Britons.
Oh, that sounded so weird to me. Wait, what?
Finish of this match, I believe it's Violent J goes for an elbow drop, misses, hits his own man, and then just leaves the ring.
It's the other one.
Wait,
he does not. Shaggy. He does not. Well, maybe that too. But he doesn't miss. Hit, like, someone. He just straight up. Elbow drops his own guy.
Yeah.
And then gets up and walks out of the ring.
Yeah, because JR literally says, that made no sense.
I wrote it down in quotes, thank you.
Yeah.
And it made me laugh.
My assumption is that ICP is turning on the Oddities.
Hmm. Oh my god.
They are going to gather up all Juggalos and roll.
And over to WCW.
If that feud had happened.
And Juggaleave. Hopefully.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll be here.
Why any
night.
Of this was my last
one. And tomorrow.
I don't... Yeah, this was not...
the next day.
This was not great
it
at
was,
all.
I'll do you one further and say it was bad.
Thank you.
Bad use of John Tenta.
Golga missing that elbow.
I didn't
good.
Realize...
Big guy.
I didn't realize X-Pac was in the match until they were walking up
I
the
didn't
ramp.
Know it was
he didn't do
shit. Did we talk about Billy Gunn's butt?
Ass cutouts?
Yeah.
His eye-shaped ass eyes?
His Spider-Man mask-looking ass gear?
I think it's lips.
I thought they were, I thought they were
lip shaped,
but yeah.
Flesh-colored material?
I don't think it is.
Is it just his bum?
No, like, I think there's fabric over it, but I think it's just his ass.
I'm pretty sure it's just his ass.
Bill got his ass out.
I remember thinking, what is going on in this ring, period?
Kip Sop.
How long did this go?
I actually didn't time it.
Oh.
Two.
If you told me 4 minutes, I'd believe you.
I don't think anything on the show
No cop has ever been anywhere that quickly. Sorry, I'm distracting from the thing.
I mean, there's police cars right there.
Yeah, but this one pulled up.
That's fair.
So Mankind shows up.
Yeah.
And he's pissed.
Yeah. Because he got screwed at Survivor Series.
He got Montreal screwjobbed.
Yes. He got motherfucking Montreal.
He got motherfucking Montreal.
Motherfucking Montreal.
But then we cut straight from that to Vince's locker room, where he says, go get Mankind. Go to the boiler room.
He's home, you see.
And yeah. I said, we just saw a shot of him not there.
That's where he was going.
He was going there. He was on his way there.
Right. Okay.
Because he was saying, I'm coming home, and I didn't realize that was what that was in reference to. I thought it was the Cactus Jack return, and then I said, that's two years from now.
Yeah, no. Right. I wrote down subtext. Cowards.
Butt sex.
Shamrock comes to the ring in all of the shape and grabs a microphone, and I wrote down, Kenny, you are not a talker.
Oh, he did okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
When I think Shamrock, I immediately just think of what Hunter Holtcraft would look like if he just wore trunks and MMA gloves.
I could see that.
Yeah.
It's great theme.
Hunter doesn't love stimulants enough.
He doesn't love stimulants enough.
Jesus. It's a damn good theme.
I need him to be punching himself in the head.
And going, Gah!
Yeah, Kenny is not a talker. He's a...
Yes.
Guy.
So, this is an instance of something that happened on this show that I was like, this doesn't happen in wrestling now. Somebody getting their entrance to do their promo, and then coming back out later and getting to do their entrance for their match on the same episode of television. It's a good theme.
He did not do the Roman punching Reigns. And right. the, except for the match, which I did appreciate. But I like that. I like that he also just cuts a promo and then leaves.
Yeah.
A lot of that on this show.
Just, here's the thing. I was advancing the story, and now I'm gone.
Specifically, like, I feel like every promo now gets interrupted.
Yeah.
Or is they used to just something.
Let promos happen.
Yeah. I appreciate a promo that just happens.
Yeah. Because in theory, you should just have, the show is scheduled for your interview segment here, sir.
Yeah.
You've got this much time. Go talk. All right. Cool. And instead, then it becomes, hey, motherfucker, interruption time. Yay, wrestling.
So, see, that's why Dynamite and Collision always go over.
Mm.
It's because people interrupt promos, interrupt the broadcasts. You're going to sit there and tell me I'm wrong?
No, exactly. Not at all.
Exactly.
Val Venus' theme is unfortunately pretty good.
He doesn't deserve it. Yeah. They say he's 28 here.
Wow.
There's no way.
It's fucked up.
No, that's probably very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still wrestling in TNA in 2010, so
yeah.
Damn.
Dude, I'm telling you, people just, in general, aged differently.
They aged harder back then.
Yeah.
Jason Alexander on Seinfeld was, like, in his early 30s. Yeah. Like, he was, like, 31 or something. And I'm like, George Costanza did not look like he was 31.
Maybe we are the weak generation, guys.
I don't know. It's everybody was on the gas.
ate gravel.
ate gravel.
And drank cigarettes.
Val Venus versus Mark Henry here. Mark Henry is enormous, I wrote down. Like,
Mark Henry is 27 here.
Because he was the world's strongest man at the time.
Unfucking believable. Like,
people are... I'm starting to get an age where people who are doing amazing things were that age, and I'm starting to get real depressed.
It only ever gets worse.
So much worse.
You know?
It only gets so much worse.
Dude, me and Tyler Bate are close to the same age. How fucked up do you think I've been for a while now?
Yeah.
MJF is like a year older than me.
This is why I don't. Yeah, he's a year younger than me.
Oh.
I'm older than Roman.
Ooh.
You're older than a lot of
guys. That's
right. You can stand wow. Yes. I mean, that was pretty bogus.
I mean, right now?
Nick Bockwinkle looked up to you.
He was a young hip punk then, and he's a young punk now.
You taught Carl Gotch everything that he knew.
Mark Henry has a sexual assault lawsuit against China, or... the other way around.
From China again.
From China, yeah.
Yes, yes.
And it resulted in her being forced to leave the company.
Right!
Usually how that works.
Actually true.
And this is just stated on commentary.
Yeah. It's important for the contest.
Fully normal to just state this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mark Henry beats the fuck out of Val Venus. Val Venus makes his whole comeback. Then Mark Henry gets distracted by China.
Uh-huh.
And then rolled up.
Yeah.
Mm, after Mark gets his shit in, though, Mark did some cool stuff in this.
There's a belly-to-belly suplex in here.
Mark Henry's the fucking man.
That press into just eat the mat, yeah, where he put Val Venus 10 feet in the air. Cool.
Yeah, that, I wrote that down. Flapjack! So, when
wrestling is on this episode, wrestling is, I wish I knew the word for, like, for tertiary. You know what I mean? Like,
required.
It's not even, it's not
quaternary.
Yeah, that.
Cool.
It's fourth place as far as importance on what is, like, this match goes 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not really much here except for, like, there were some pretty stiff clotheslines from Val Venus where I was like, oh, fuck, you are actually
trying to knock
him
down.
Like, this is good.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're just like, there wasn't anything. But one of the things that killed me, because I had to write it down, when China's out here for the distraction and Mark Henry is completely focused on her, Jim Ross says on commentary, oh, Mark Henry has forgotten about everything in life.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything in life.
Everything in life.
Yeah. Which is hilarious. Because
he loses and then he doesn't care.
Nope.
Yeah.
Which to me then I was like,
why are you even here?
Why do I care if you win or lose, Mark? You don't give a fuck.
Because I don't think you've noticed, but this show and Raw at the time was not about the matches.
No, it sure wasn't. They were something required to be done.
Have you guys seen that video going around of Mark Henry recently where he's like being interviewed and talking about him re-entering the World's Strongest Man competition?
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm.
So it's actually like really dope. So while he was training, like under WWE, he was having the moniker World's Strongest Man, and doing like, I don't remember if it was like FCW shows or like their training, whatever at the time. And I guess a lot of like bodybuilders and like strongmen were like, why is he saying that? Because he's in WWE. That shit's fake. Like,
right,
we're the ones that are the strongmen. He's not even competing. So Mark Henry heard these, and as one does, gets under skin. So he talks to Vince McMahon and he's like, hey, listen, I know I'm training and stuff, but these guys are talking smack, and I want to enter this competition, and I want to show them that, like, I'm still, you know, the World's Strongest Man. And Vince, like, he contemplated it, and Mark Henry was like, he looked me dead in the eye and said, you know, you can do this, but just know there's no room in the WWE for the world's second strongest man.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So was this in the 90s then, like right when they had first, yeah, like signed him?
Yeah.
Because he was there, like this is 98. He's already been there for like three years.
Like four? Yeah.
And at this point, like at in the World's Strongest Man competition, there's like this lift that's been around. It's like
is this the Stone bar?
Yeah. Put over their heads.
Yeah.
That day, he became one of like 8 people in history to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's pretty, I mean,
he's the fucking man.
I love all the stories about him. And he's a DJ.
He's a DJ. He went to a club and just randomly fucking DJed. It was dope as hell. He started playing like Hulk Hogan's theme song, and the people were like starting to go back and forth. He like cut it, and it was like, ooh. And then he just played Iron Sheik just saying, fuck the Hulk Hogan! And then drop, and it was fucking insane, dude. Mark Henry just seems like the coolest guy fucking ever.
The one that I heard from Big Show talking about him, where he felt like he was having almost like a breakdown because Mark was like sit by himself, like hunched over. And Big Show goes up to him and is like, hey man, you okay? And he goes, I'm trying to break a quarter, but all I can do is bend it. And he was bending a quarter with his fucking hands. Yeah. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
But all I can do is bend it.
Can you imagine?
No! I can't!
I mean, watching him fucking mangle a frying pan on live TV.
Yes!
Give me that Wendy's wrapper and I will bend that shit.
Yeah, so, anyways.
But he's about to become sexual chocolate.
Right. Mm.
Sexual chocolate. That's gonna be my After Dark gimmick, sexual chocolate.
Oh, God.
Sexual
Hang on. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm trying to read my own writing. I'm so stoned at this point.
There's a buffer on that one.
Why can't I think of his name? Patterson. Fuck.
Pat.
Pat Patterson can't find the boiler room or his ass. He is so useless here.
I'm so glad you said that, because I wrote it down, the quote, and I spelled it specifically so I'd remember how Vince said it.
Yeah.
You couldn't find your ass! He put so much into that one.
So then he sends somebody else to go find the boiler room?
I don't know.
Then there's an ad for the JVC Kaboom Box.
I know where it is, Mr. McMahon. His ass? No, the boiler room.
No,
it's
man.
It's pretty good.
That's a pretty good one.
That is pretty good.
Do you know where the JVC Kaboom Box is? You used to have to buy a machine to listen to music.
Yeah. There used to be a time way further than that, by the way. Just back in the time, there used to be a time where people only heard their favorite song one time, ever.
Yeah. Shit.
Like, it was a live performance or nothing.
Before the advent of recording, yeah.
The radio.
No,
he's saying before
all that.
The recording.
You're talking like a Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, John.
Yeah. I saw Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, John, last week. That's gotta be my favorite song ever.
How's it go? I can't. Yeah. Fucking. Where were we? Oh, yeah, the Kaboom Box. Because you used to buy machines.
Yeah.
Because we used to buy machines.
And people used to have to build the machines!
So,
and have the machines just tell us what to do.
Tag team.
Hey, Siri.
Nut.
Can you remind me to take a shit in 2 hours? I've been backed up.
Good stuff.
Your body. Thank
you. You knowing that you're backed up tells me that you know you need to shit.
Yeah, what if I forget?
You know
how it is.
That's the thing about shitting.
That's the thing about shitting.
Is my dog just sitting on the recliner arm?
Yeah.
Shitting.
Yeah.
Dude, you're... Oh, my God. He got groomed.
Just shitting.
And he is the king of this castle. Just don't tell Tom.
He knows his foot. No, Tom knows.
Tom knows.
Anytime I try to discipline my dog, and Tom immediately goes, I don't even get it all, the full sentence out, and Tom goes, no, he's fine. And I'm like, Tom, no.
See,
he's fine.
I will literally come out of the bathroom, and Goten is just cuddled up on Tom. And I'm just like,
he gets me.
Here's the thing, we're working on Deimos not growling and barking at Brayden, but there's times that, like, me and Brayden will be like, play Arguing, and he'll like have a comeback, and Deimos just goes, and I go, yeah, get him, and he goes, no, stop.
So you're the problem.
No.
Yeah.
I am the problem.
Okay. So we found the root of this. We will take this off the pod afterwards. Anyway, back to the show.
The bigger problem is this tag team fucking match. Everyone's favorite of Steve Blackman and Goldust versus everyone's favorite of Jeff Jarrett and the Blue Blazer.
Ha!
Not Owen Hart, the Blue Blazer.
That is correct.
Actually not Owen Hart, which caught me by surprise.
It really did.
Danny Masham.
Is it?
I don't know.
No.
I don't think it could be. I mean, you're
That's
thinking
not,
about it.
There's
we're
no way.
About it.
Yeah. Could I feel like that guy only ever looked 40. This is...
Genuinely got me.
Because the whole time I'm like, yeah, it's Owen, I know the bit. But the fact that they're just saying it on commentary...
Yeah.
I was like, man, that's the thing that always fucking works, because Chad Gable's been doing this goddamned Americano bit for a year. And they just keep saying, it's Chad Gable. Like...
Yeah.
We're only a step or two away
from... It would be like...
It's Ludwig Kaiser.
It would be like if... If he went by Shorty G, and they were like, but it's just Chad Gable.
What an awful time period.
They committed more, if you think
they
about
committed
it,
more
they committed
Shorty
more
G.
to Shorty G than they did Grande Americano.
They
because,
did.
Well, okay,
also,
so I have a hot take about Grande Americano. Not really that much of a hot take. Everything that Ludwig Kaiser is doing and all that stuff, that was going to be Chad Gable. It was like, they were loading the shotgun, and then he got injured.
Yeah.
Oh, big time.
You know what I mean?
Chad Gable is one of the most, like, there's never a good time for somebody to get injured, but I feel like Chad Gable's had, like, at least three of those ones where it's like, oh man, you're so close to being that next tier guy. Injured. Fuck!
Yeah.
Him and Gunther.
So good.
Oh, I've never seen somebody look so good going under.
So good.
So good. But that also attributes to Gunther as well. He truly is the ring.
General. This match, Dustin be moving. That was
always
like, yeah. even at his worst times, like yeah. he was still really fucking great.
Blazer wrestling in the cape.
Yes.
Dedicated.
I can't. He hit the ropes.
Mm-hmm. And never got tangled up, like yeah. nothing.
He was doing stuff.
Steve Crazy. Blackman hits the worst brogue kick of all time for the fucking win.
Or the best.
And then I wrote down, wait, that's Owen. Because only then did I realize that the Blue Blazer in this match was just some guy.
I was completely fooled. Big time. Well.
Let's see, so Briscoe's down in this boiler room, I think, but he got scared like a little bitch, and he goes back and says, no, I'm scared. But more importantly than that, it's time for William Regal to be a fucking man.
He's a man!
Such a man!
Such a man!
I wanted to, I was so hoping that would be ribbed at some point in time.
A real man's man.
No, Danielson made him play it for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean for me.
Oh. Dude, what were they fucking thinking with this gimmick for him? Like, I think that the gimmick is, for this time period and whatnot, the gimmick's a fine gimmick.
Mm-hmm. It's putting a little it on William outdated. I would say it's probably more 95, but...
the darkest times. But, yeah, it is. It's a bit outdated, sure. But at the same time, I'm like, if you're going to do this, why would you put that on William Regal?
Now, of all people.
Because they were like, well, he's a good enough wrestler, but he needs a gimmick.
That's it.
But then give him a different... William Regal is so purely British, and yeah. this gimmick seems so purely meathead white guy that I'm like, why would you do that all right, with him?
Let's do this live, here and now. Live to tape, here and now on the recorded medium. Who instead would you give on the roster at this time the real man's man gimmick to?
Steve Blackman.
Ooh. No.
You could film a lot of Chuck Norris style vignettes with Steve Blackman with his look and that.
Yeah, but that's like, not.
But he's
what
the lethal
Chuck
weapon.
Chuck Norris is. He's
the
not
lethal weapon. He's not an axeman.
He's not a apologies. Fucking. He's not wearing a hard hat.
I'm saying Chuck Norris the in the movies where he put. Okay, well, no, I would not want anyone to wear a hard hat to the
no,
ring.
No, but that's the thing is they're coming out to real man's man. They got the hard hat and the axe.
Okay, so what you're saying is
and the vest and the jean shorts.
It's November of '98. You're working for the World Wrestling Federation. They've got this gimmick. The gimmick has to make air.
Yeah.
You have to give the gimmick to somebody on the roster.
Vince is convinced that this will breathe new life into somebody.
Right. Austin's catching fire. We yeah. need a rival.
We need a real man's man.
We need a rival. We need a rival. You are attributing. You're attributing a real man's man.
Yeah. We're going to launch this character. We're going to really heat
versus
him up quick.
Stone Cold.
Oh, that's
at
right.
At the main event.
That's
mania.
Box office.
You know that guy?
Who's Dwayne again?
No. No, we don't have time for that.
Nobody has time for Dwayne.
We gotta launch the real man's man because Dwayne's getting fed to Steve in the next pay-per-view cycle.
Which
it's
Steven
the late 90s, so it's going to be at least 3 weeks. Who do you give the gimmick to then?
Midian.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, he looks like shit.
A real greasy man.
Yeah.
He looks like shit.
A bad pick. I was going to say Foley. And have him have four faces of Foley.
Oh my god.
Actually, yeah.
An alter ego of Dude Love.
He shows up. Each Manny gimmick man. Is a different time. It's a fucking different time, but they're all men.
Monogamy.
Monogamy. That should have been a wrestling name.
So it's Regal versus the Godfather. And, these are lesser hoes, I have to say, guys.
Lexington's
they are
finest.
I will say the one in the middle, she said, I'm giving this shit away for free.
The phrase, lesser hoes.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I wrote down, these women are Kentucky hot.
These women are Kentucky hot.
Does Reed Bentley listen to this
podcast? If you're listening to this and you're somewhere down there in Paducah, I said what I fucking said.
I really hope Reed Bentley listens to this podcast.
Get on your jackass and ride up here and fucking find me. Confederate fucks.
what he said.
I'm now turning heel against Kentucky for no reason.
So Godfather offers the hose.
Yeah, he does.
And Regal takes it.
Yeah, he does.
And
he says, "I may be British, but I'm not Elton John."
Yeah, yeah, he does.
And then gives the craziest eyebrow to the hard
I'll
camp.
Take the broads.
I'll take the broads.
Jeez.
Man, he was a chump.
And I didn't write down who said it.
I'm reading my notes for the first time.
It's either Lawler or JR. Well, the man's man is a thinking man, I suppose. It's a good call, regardless of who it was. I think that's a good call.
Commentary was good at calling the bullshit tonight.
I just wrote down, Regal takes the hose. A proud moment for our great industry. And then I wrote down, holy hell, because the Godfather gets on the mic
and just insults him anyway.
Calls him a slur. Regal then gets angry, and then they fight. And here's the thing. If you look at this, canonically speaking, the Godfather is the biggest dickhead in the world because he's like, hey, we can fight, or you can have the hose. Regal says, I'll take the hose. Godfather says, wow, I'm surprised you took the hose that I even initially offered unto you. I thought that you were a slur. And then Regal says, hey man, you offered the hose and I took him. Go fuck yourself. And goes to fight him. And I'm like, no, Regal is in the right here.
Yeah, and that's why Godfather's the heel.
I was like, what the fuck?
They're establishing the babyface and the heel, Tom. How do you not understand that?
I you know what? I thought they were going to zig, and then instead they zagged.
We get told several times that there's something going on backstage with Kane.
Yeah.
You got to get those cameras on him.
This is my favorite Kane.
This took a long time for them to get those cameras on him. But
this is the least Glenn Kane that we have.
Yes.
When they finally get the cameras on him, nothing's happened yet.
Yeah, he's seemingly kind of just walking around.
And he choke slams a technician or something.
Yeah.
He throws one into the side of a trailer and then he slams one on the tailgate or whatever.
He's on a fucking rampage.
He's a big red machine.
There's a WWF Rewind brought to you by Love the Glove.
Yeah. Glover!
Glover. I wrote down Love the Glove.
You ever play Glover?
No. It looked like the Hamburger Helper hand to me. Is that a hand or a glove?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, side note, I don't
remember. There's a skeleton inside of the glove.
No.
Yes, that's
what
you're
don't.
Asking.
I think we've already passed it, but at one point in time before a commercial break, you know how they usually like cut to the wrestlers when they're like warming up or whatever before the main event match? My favorite thing in the world, I think my favorite cutoff was in this episode, of them going to Stone Cold, him preparing for the match, and he's literally just making a cup of coffee. He's just like getting sugar, like fucking ripping the packet.
It does not look like he really even knew
he got a dip cup.
He couldn't give less of a shit. It was the funniest thing ever. I'm like, couldn't you have been like, hey, Steve, 1 second.
We're doing something.
We're doing something, but Steve.
The character of Stone Cold Steve Austin was great because, like, he made it look like he was one of those, like a Jake the Snake type guy, that would crush out a cigarette and then go to the ring or whatever.
Yeah, he's one of the fucking boys.
But, like, he inspired so many generations of bad indie wrestlers who thought that they could do that and be Stone Cold Steve Austin and didn't realize how
hard
he actually
even like the people in the company when he was hot started like trying to be like him. Like they would like work a more aggressive, like faster, like go style and shit. And it's like, well, they see what's getting over, what's getting hot, and they're like, well, we need to be over or we're gonna get fucking fired and then we're gonna have to go work for WCW. Fuck that. Like
I was annoyed that they were replaying it again, because I feel like they replayed this fucking Stone Cold getting screwed out of the goddamn thing by Shane.
Well,
but
we don't. They don't know if you tune in at the top of the hour or not. That was a big thing. Top of the hour.
Yeah, actually.
I will say, though, JR just screaming, three, is so good.
Dude, when he's... That.
They're real good here.
When he's on, he's one of the best ever.
Him and King, my favorite team.
Are we at Bossman versus Shamrock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bossman out here looking like the lost fourth S.H.I.E.L.D. member.
Yeah.
That's, you know what?
No, the no, that's fifth Krangle. One. Fifth that's one.
Krangle.
Yeah.
Fifth, yeah.
You, shit, my bad. Bossman right. would be the fifth one.
Yeah.
You know what? Give me that, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Give me the S.H.I.E.L.D. with Bossman.
Well, tragically, awesome. We can't because he has passed, but yes.
In my world...
So is Dean Ambrose.
Why did he say no?
Dean Logan. Ambrose is also dead.
In my world, Logan Paul never was born in exchange for more years on Ray Traylor's life.
More than a fair trade.
That was bogus.
Did you see some... there's a reporter, I think his name... I can't remember who he was. But he said that Logan Paul should be the heavyweight champion. Because it'll make everybody talk about it and everybody will watch it.
No.
And I'm like, he's right, but it's fucking annoying.
Bad. This match was really fucking ugly. And I like Shamrock and I like Bossman.
Yeah.
Bossman is quirking here.
He is moving. He's one of those guys that, like, I always forget how fucking big he was.
Yeah.
Until you see him, like, next to a normal person. And then you're like, oh, wow, you're just,
you're
like...
You're calling you're Ken a Shamrock mutant. A normal person?
No, I mean, like, a referee or, like, you know, a commentator. Like, a normal human being. Like, you get that frame of reference. Shamrock looks like a fucking action figure here.
Yes, yeah. He does.
He looks like he's made out of Zeppelins.
He is literally on orange juice, apple juice, tomato juice, and every fucking juice you
I mean,
think
he,
of.
Like, and it's crazy because, like, the first UFC that he fought in was, like, only 3 years or so before this.
Before this, yeah. And he'd already done all that shit in Japan with, like, was it Pancrase? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt really rushed. There's a really awful clothesline where, like...
He takes a weird bump off the corner.
Yeah.
Out of the corner.
It felt like Bossman didn't want to get hit, and Shamrock hit him anyways. Like, just weird. This is bad. And,
I hate the Irish Whip until
2003. Okay.
I hate it.
Man, that's a... Study your tapes, kids. Go to training and learn actual physics. Fucking, this goes to a double DQ.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this just wasn't over, was the biggest thing. I was like, this crowd is like...
This is one of those means to an end matches.
It is, but like, goddamn. Like,
they had an hour's worth of television. Wait, how long was this episode?
It's an hour and a half.
Okay, like, that's what, okay, yeah. That, okay. It's 2 hours, take out the commercials. Okay.
Right, yeah.
I just want. I thought it was a 2 hour episode, but then I was like, wait a minute, is this before they did that? Anyway.
It's my life.
They had an hour's worth of television written and had to stretch it. So like, okay, we'll have the corporation promo and Ken Shamrock's challenge of Bossman be separate. And then also do the match separately so we can get three whole things out and, like...
Entrances.
And then also this... The whole match is everything is designed to just get Ken Shamrock to join the corporation.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to do any of this. We're just wasting fucking time.
And on top of that, canonically speaking, how do we get him to join the corporation? Well, he fights Bossman and he neither wins nor loses.
Yeah.
They go to a mutual respect agreement.
Right.
But we're not going to take the time to, like, actually build that respect between the two.
Correct. No. We have to do that, and we need to do it today. It has to all be done now.
Well, we have to build to the next pay-per-view.
Vince is on every other fucking segment, it seems like, on this show.
We can't go more than 15 minutes without seeing Vince McMahon.
I did think that his promo for... getting Shamrock to join was actually a pretty good promo.
Decent.
I mean, you have so many promos in the show.
One he's got several.
Yeah, man. See where he put the effort in.
Someone should have timed out how much promo time Vince McMahon got on his own show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot.
This is where I wrote it down, though. Ew, Ken joins the corporation. Was he getting too over? You couldn't have anyone but Austin and Rock. I fucking hate the Attitude Era.
So the cops are coming for Kane, but never mind that shit, because the Brood is here.
Yes.
All-timer entrance.
The coolest entrance of all time.
And this one is weird because Gangrel comes up by himself.
It's just
and Edge and Christian come out, like, through the
regular entrance.
Yeah.
I'm just now discovering I have zero notes on the entirety of the Brood's existence on this show.
Oh, shit.
That's okay, because I remember it happening, at least, a little bit.
So it's Edge and Gangrel.
Yeah.
With Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For your third or fourth tag team match of the evening?
There's been a couple, yes. And they're teaming with, or teaming against, LOD, represented by Animal and Draws.
Oh, that is the same match. I do have some notes. God damn it.
So,
yeah, this is...
First off, I wrote this down because it was a crazy thing that I realized watching the match. The Brood are still working.
Holy shit.
Aw.
Like,
greatest stable of all time?
6 months.
Still going. Yeah, they were so short-lived.
6 months.
What if we had the Brood versus S.H.I.E.L.D. now?
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I finally
know, Ganger still has it in a way.
I finally learned the actual name for the Gangrel suplex that I've only ever known as the Gangrel suplex. It's what? Called a deadbolt suplex.
Mm.
Oh, shit. Yeah, fucking... Yeah.
So, like... This...
This is designed for one thing. And it's not a good thing.
I wrote down, before the match even, like, really got started, just, like, remembering kind of where we were, you know, chronologically, I just wrote down, Hawk's alcoholism being an angle was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then the match kind of got going, and I was like...
And they were talking about it a little bit.
Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, the match, I thought, was pretty good at this point. I was like, oh, man, I wrote down, Draws had so much potential before...
He's much bigger than I thought he was.
He was a good fit in the LOD, I think.
Yeah.
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 And he's moving really well here, too. Like, that's a really, really tragic one, but...
Draws fit LOD way more than...
Heidenreich.
Heidenreich, thank you.
Big time.
Heidenreich.
You could have gotten a couple of years out of a trios team of LOD and Draws.
Yeah. And then Draws could have, like... I don't think he was ever going to be, like, a top guy, but, like, he would have been, like, a strong mid-card guy for, like, a number of years.
Yeah.
So then I wrote down, oh, Hawk's here, and oh, no.
Yeah.
And he's climbing the Titantron, guys. And I said to myself, oh my god, I was born into a world where this was the hot angle of the week.
The crowd...
No wonder I hate my life.
To add to your point, the crowd is chanting for him to jump.
Yeah,
they're pointing laser pointers at him.
I was... absolutely agog.
Are you
really
that? Are you that surprised? People are terrible.
But here's
now,
the thing.
Yeah,
especially back then? Especially at this time period. I don't remember watching this episode like live, right? But if I was, I can tell you with all honesty, I would have been like, "Yeah, jump, fucking jump." We were all savage. We were all just
dying
for violence.
I'm speaking from I know the context behind it.
Right, we didn't.
They are thinking as fans, this is just part of an angle.
Uh-huh.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but like now knowing the truth, it's kind of like, "Oh god, this is ugly at best."
So, Draws straight up, there's a Paul Ellering promo that gets really heavy and no one's into it because they all just want him to jump. And then Draws climbs up there and he fucking pushes him, man. I don't know what else
they
to tell
try
you.
To make
he
it
so
out
so
to be so dramatic.
Him. They try to make it out as like being an accident, and I'm like, you are showing me a direct shot of him pushing that man.
Yeah. He doesn't even say health.
He just shoves him and looks down like, now what?
Yeah.
He has a hold of him and then lets go and pushes him.
Yeah.
Like, there's no drama to this. What is any of this? Also, he's dead.
And JR is speculating, well, did he push him or...
JR says at one point that the screen is 100 feet high.
Brother.
That screen's 100 feet high, god damn it.
What?
My god.
Well, you could stack five of them 24-foot ladders. How do you learn to fall off of one of them? Off of five of them.
We feasibly should have gotten Hawk to come back and do a ladder match and be in, like, undefeated in them because he knew how to fall.
He was the best.
He took the biggest one.
The mass math.
It was awful. Ellering looked like Ciampa during this promo, too, by the way.
He probably as old bit. As Ciampa.
Yeah.
Ciampa.
Dude, okay, so there's, like, because even the way that this is all, that this all comes together, if you jump the hurdles
yeah.
of the stupidity of and the insensitivity of this angle happening.
Right.
The way that it's done is just poor. Like, the commentators are trying to give context in between promo lines, like, so, like, they're not interrupting the live promo.
Right.
So it's like, yeah... He was Paul Ellering was their first manager, and I don't want you to. And he, like, yeah. it's so, and it's not just all of it is bad.
They had to. So I feel like all of this operates though on they know what the quality of the actual resolution is when it gets to the viewer,
right?
Because,
so they're banking on it looking blurry.
Yes.
Okay.
So, like, I feel like they just got away with a lot more before they went to HD.
Yeah, a lot of this footage looks like it was filmed on a fucking Game Boy.
And this is, like, the re-edited
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, this is the restored yeah. stuff.
That's the word I was looking for. Thanks, Radio Boy.
The thing about this...
Radio Boy? That somehow felt like an insult.
What the fuck did I...
Nothing.
Why? It's literally just your job.
Yeah.
I don't call you Pizza Boy.
I mean, you could.
During Black History Month? No.
It's March. But you're right.
Oh, well.
Every month should be Black History Month. Always Black History Month. Yeah, bring it. Yeah, that's my boy. Yeah. You're an ally.
So, my favorite thing about this horrible, horrible segment is that at the end of it, they pretty much just say, yeah... We think Draws just pushed Hawk off of a 100-foot screen to his death. He was dealing with rampant alcoholism.
Anyway, they made a bet tonight.
Here's Sable.
Anyway, here's Sable.
So, oh, that's what it is.
Yeah,
it is Sable.
It's Sable. Anyways, here's Sable. So
never mind that shit. Here comes Sable.
Oh, so before Sable, about the whole thing.
Oh, yes.
With the Hawk thing. This is the dumbest idea ever, I think. For wrestling. Because
yeah.
How was the crowd supposed to react? Mm-hmm. Have we forgotten that we're fishing for pops?
Like, it's not good.
Bad, even.
Anyway.
There's also no logical conclusion.
Yeah. He goes to AA. Yay! That
Bro,
happens
off
screen.
He got shoved off of a 100-foot screen.
Dead.
Like, he's...
Yeah, that's true.
He is without form.
I meant for... Yeah, yeah.
He is goo.
He's become physics.
Is he ever seen again in the WWE?
Yeah. I don't even know how they explain it. Or even if they try to.
I doubt they do.
It's probably just more of a... Anyways, here's Hawk.
It's probably a commentary line.
So Cole interviews Sable... And they're actually kind of sort of putting over the women's title, which I thought was good, but also quite baffling given the time period. So then...
This is what I mean by Sable saved the women's division, and that's only possible through Mark Mero.
Mark Mero is the like, crux event of modern professional wrestling.
Yes.
The linchpin, if
the
you
nucleus.
Will. The nucleus. So we've gone too long without a McMahon though. So Shane McMahon is out, and
gone too long with it.
Oh, that timer is ticking,
dude. This is a promo. Like, it's so fucking bad. I wrote down, you guys found a formula that works, and you are going to just drive it into the fucking ground as fast and as hard as you fucking can.
We'll stop beating this dead horse when it stops coughing up money.
And it's still spewing money out of its dead, lifeless mouth.
To this fucking day.
I was like, this is just a condensed version of the opening of the show. Person A speaks. Maybe they're a healer face. Person of the other alignment interrupts. Blah, blah, blah. We'll see you later. Stay tuned. I hated this.
You didn't like another promo segment on your show, Tom?
No, but I did enjoy that there was an ad for the PlayStation Slam of the Week when they are advertising the original PlayStation.
Yeah.
Didn't even have a number fucking attached to it.
It just was.
It was just
it PlayStation. Was the PlayStation.
Pretty it sure. was the only station where you could play.
That's actually true. I'm pretty sure the one that we got, my uncle stole.
Oh,
it hooked up to
God.
Channel 3. you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
He straight up was like able to get us a PS1 and 5 or 6 games the year it came out. And I was like, a child. And I was like, I don't think you have enough money for this. But you work for UPS.
Oh, he stole that.
Oh, yeah,
I'm pretty positive that shit fell off a truck.
Yeah, I was going to say it fell off of a truck.
Yeah.
Well, the three goons are in armor in the boiler room.
Yes.
One of them is saying, Mick, I love you! Over and over again. And then Mick beats the fuck out of him, because of course, how else could this mini-plot end?
Well, they're wearing University of Kentucky football pads, so, you know.
I don't know if you noticed the logo on the helmet.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I didn't.
That's the logo.
This baffled me. And at one point, again, I kept thinking about how people aged differently back then, how time passed differently back then. And I wrote down, 4 years prior to this, Sergeant Slaughter was world champion.
Holy shit.
Like, he had betrayed America, aligned with Iran, was feuding with Hulk Hogan for the world title. He beat Warrior. Like, now you are wearing football pads, teaming with two other older men, and having your ass beat for no purpose at all. Like,
you've become old and feeble in four years.
4 years ago, you were a world beater. Like...
You beat the Ultimate Warrior.
I literally wrote down, this is toilet. I hate this.
This is toilet. I hate this.
This is absolute toilet.
There's a lot of yelling, not a lot of good brawling. Because, like, Mick's fighting off three people, so he's hitting them in the plastic with the fucking weapons.
So, at this point in my viewing, I had been very high, and I was hitting, like, a crescendo. And my next note just says...
A crescendo.
What did I say?
Don't worry about it.
A crescendo.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just wrote down in large capital letters, more McMahons now!
That timer almost hit 3 minutes.
I literally wrote
down... Did I just say 3 minutes?
No chance! That's what you got!
Amazing.
The version by Dope that we all hate.
My note is strong. Shane and Vince a fucking gen.
How could it not be?
And like, all I have to say to that is, what?
The Rock gets a separate entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, he's The Rock. Dude. Nothing has changed in the last 30 years.
It's unbelievable.
Not a single thing.
There's this exchange by Lawler and JR that made me laugh so hard because of the innocence in Lawler's voice. Mm. I don't know why, there's something about it that popped me. He goes, look at Vince McMahon, looks like he's about to have a heart attack. That's impossible. Why? And JR doesn't answer him. He genuinely just wants to know why that's impossible.
I'm curious.
It's so funny.
Why is it that you think that, sir?
Explain your claim, good manner. Dude, I really fucking loved this match. I thought this was so fucking fun to watch. That, like, They are working so much harder than they have fucking need to. They're taking floor bumps.
Rock can't stop bumping on the ramp.
It's just...
Rock is 26 here.
That's fucked up of you.
I just... They said it. They said it on commentary. He's 26.
So then he's the youngest world champion at this point, which would then eventually be broken by Lesnar, and then eventually broken by Orton.
No, and pretty immediately broken by Orton.
Yeah, they were like petty as shit about it. But do you think that we'll have a World Wrestling Federation Entertainment World Heavyweight Champion that is younger than 24? It feels like it's going to have to happen at some point, right?
How old is Javon Evans?
Oh, shit.
He's like 21 at this point, I think.
Because he...
It's feasible.
No, because to answer your question, no. Because everyone has to spend 12 years in developmental before they might get a shot at SmackDown or Raw. And then maybe...
You got to do some side quests with The Miz. Yeah.
The Miz will still be there.
Oh, yeah. Regardless.
Okay, there's two big things about this match that really pissed me off, and the rest of the work was fine.
Yes.
So I really didn't end up loving this match because I've seen WrestleMania 19. But, so, at one point, Stone Cold grabs a chair and is going to hit Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He's just gonna fucking hit him.
Right.
Why would you do that?
Right.
And then also, Rock sees this and cuts him off. You just keep the belt, take a bullet.
Right. Hit him with the chair.
There's several layers of why the fuck would you do that.
Right.
Corporate elbow. Followed by... chin lock. No pin attempt. I was losing my mind.
I'm lost.
He did not know what he had with that stupid fucking move.
And he's already putting it over as the most electrifying move in sports entertainment.
We're not going to try to win, though.
Chin lock
time, baby.
The way they cut to The Undertaker felt like a video game.
I laughed.
It was so funny.
Here comes The Undertaker with a shovel.
Because he's already
just there.
He's already three quarters down the ramp.
Like, he's about to hit flat floor, and it's just like... And it's Taker and fucking...
Blonde Paul Bearer.
And that fucking... I was like, what the fuck is... It's just such a hard smash cut. Holy shit.
Oh, fuck, here comes The Undertaker with a shovel.
I wrote down too much is happening.
Speaking of which, there's my dog.
And then I just wrote down Taker Shovel DQ.
Yeah.
Because this is when he just waffles Steve, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I wrote down, in regards, basically to what the show is, and it's like, oh, it's the night after a pay-per-view. We're doing the biggest match that we can possibly do for the belt tonight, impromptu, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I wrote down, how could it not be a DQ?
Yeah.
What part of my idiot brain thought that this would go to some sort of a fucking conclusion?
No. That's not even
silly.
A little bit.
That's just silly.
Unbelievable.
Undertaker, by the way, goes to kill Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Big time.
And Paul Bearer stops him, mm-hmm. of all people.
How close is this to when they try to embalm...
We're not far from it, I think. Okay. It's probably within the next couple weeks. Because this is going to be in between pay-per-view cycles.
This is also building to corporate ministry, correct?
Yes. Which would be, I think, at the turn of the year.
We're building to corporate ministry, and the ministry, or the corporation, doesn't even have music yet.
Right. I would love to know, possibly even review... what the competition was putting out on this same night.
Yeah.
Honestly, I am quite curious.
And
is it better or worse?
Because I did not care for this episode of Monday Night Raw, really, at all.
No.
It was passable.
There was stuff that I found interesting, but it wasn't like the content of the show.
Interesting.
The ghost.
Yes. Yeah.
Extra Attitude was fun after the show goes off air.
Yeah,
I don't know that on Netflix. Yeah,
Stone Cold no sells this fucking shovel shot to stun everyone and then drink a few
what
beers
is this?
With Earl Hebner.
Okay, so for those of you that don't know, when the official Raw goes off the air, right?
Yeah.
Network, whatever, next show comes on, I turn on to The Amazing Spider-Man. Basically, what happens is, on Netflix, they have what goes on after the show goes off the air.
So they filmed really? All of it's those, like, send the crowd amazing. Home happy segments at yes. the end of Raw.
And that's on the Raw as it yeah. plays on Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has a
How
beer
did I
with,
not?
He has a beer with, fucking, not Paul
Hebner.
Heyman.
Earl Hebner.
Earl Hebner.
Yeah, and I think Earl Hebner might be the only person to ever share a beer with Stone Cold and not get stunned.
Correct.
Wild.
And Christian Rose.
Yeah.
What?
Dude, that's crazy. I didn't realize that was on the show.
You shared a beer with Stone Cold?
With Stone Cold? No, with Earl Hebner.
Oh. Well, he meant...
You phrased that very
yeah.
No, he's one beer removed from Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
Okay.
Well, so am I, then. I had a Boogie Wiser with the Boogeyman.
Is it confirmed?
Boogeyman's had a
Boogeyman
beer with Stone Cold?
Stone Cold?
I'm almost positive they've had a beer.
You can't validate that, though.
I think...
What? Whatever, man.
I would love to do the episode of Nitro, though, that ran head-to-head with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a companion comparison piece. I can't really
Absolutely.
Recommend the show, though.
No,
like,
no.
At
Put
all.
It on if you're folding laundry and want to watch some slop.
Yeah, this is just a lot of filler. Anyways.
Shut it, Dune.
Yeah, okay,
Shut
I guess
it
we'll
down.
Just... Dune.
Hit me in the face
Dune
with a
3.
Shovel!
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I'm hyped. I already have a plan.
Hit me in the face with this shovel.
Shovel.
Hit me
what?
In the face with this shovel.
Digging
what?
Through
shovel.
Dunes.
Shovel.
What? Dig
a shovel.
What?